Sky Harbor officials announced last week that British Airways would be adding a second flight from Phoenix to London 3 days a week in May and June. At the same time, though, there have been reports of American Airlines lessening its role at Sky Harbor. We wanted to get a sense of where the airport stands nationally. To help with that, I'm joined by Seth Kaplan. He's an airline industry analyst and managing partner of Airline Weekly. And Seth, within the industry but outside of Arizona, what is the perception of Sky Harbor?
The perception is that it's a good airport, first of all, and it's a large market, certainly one where you used to have an airline headquartered there, certainly a big leisure destination of a place where people from all over the country, certainly points west who live up north, like to go, but not a market necessarily that punches its weight in terms of, for example, corporate travel, business travel. Phoenix has a good economy, but it doesn't, for example, have as many Fortune 500 companies headquartered there as other cities. A city like Denver, for example, although not as big of a local population, Colorado has 10 Fortune 500 companies headquartered there, whereas Arizona has just 4. So kind of punches below its weight in terms of that very profitable, what airlines call high-yielding kind of traffic, the kinds of travelers that pay the highest fares.
So not having those headquarters affects not only the city and to an extent the state's business climate, but also its airport economy.
Exactly, because airlines look at all kinds of things when picking where to fly or where to put a hub, and certainly volume is one of those things. A large local population is one of those things. A growing population is one of those things, and Phoenix has all of that. But yeah, one thing where it lacks, like some other large markets, South Florida, Miami and the surrounding areas come to mind. Phoenix, kind of like that. A big population, a popular destination, but not the best market in terms of those high fare business travelers that you do get in some other places like Denver, even in Salt Lake City, although in that case a much smaller metro area, but one that has a good corporate travel community.
What is it about having headquarters and having that kind of business travel that makes a market and an airport in that market more attractive to airlines?
Well, quite simply, business travelers tend to pay more than leisure travelers. When somebody's up north in the winter and they're cold and they want to go somewhere warm, they might be happy to fly to Phoenix if they can get a good deal there. But if the fare is too high and if it's cheaper to go somewhere else where the sun shines and just as bright, they'll go there instead. Whereas, business travelers are just tend to be the people who say, you know what, I've got to get to Chicago for that important meeting and I don't want to overpay, but I'm going to pay what I have to get there. It's just a less price sensitive kind of travel.
Do you think that the merger between U.S. Airways and American Airlines and then U.S. Airways moving out of Phoenix, its corporate headquarters, has had any impact on that?
It's had some impact. I mean, look, in the most objective sense of all, each hub I don't mean this the wrong way, but simply matters less in the context of a much bigger airline than it did before, right? I mean, U.S. Airways had one hub in the western part of the U.S., really, and that was Phoenix years back. Now, the merged airline has Dallas-Fort Worth. It has Los Angeles-LAX. And the fact that the airline trims a little bit doesn't necessarily mean that it's not working anymore in that city. What it means is that American can cut a little bit in Phoenix or a little bit in Philly, where it's actually cut more than it has in Phoenix, and still have a dominant presence in that market, which is not the case in places like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, where when American cuts there, somebody is going to fly Delta or United instead, depending on the market.
Is it fair to say that in order for Sky Harbor to, as you say, punch at its weight, it's sort of out of the airport itself's control, that the city and the region itself need more headquarters, need more, Fortune 500 companies to be here?
That's mostly the case. You know, airports do all kinds of things to try to lure new service and to retain the service that they have. And Sky Harbor is very active. It does all the same kinds of things that other airports do in terms of providing incentives for new flights and all that. But yeah, you can't change the reality of the local economy. Can't change the reality of geography. So between that and just the whole issue of how much business travel there is in general and all the other things, those are things that the airport can't change.
In a city like Phoenix, which, as you point out, doesn't have a ton of headquarters, there are, though, a lot of outposts of large companies. Does that not help as far as business travel? Workers who work here, they might not be the top executives, still have to go back to, you know, the mothership, and folks, you know, from headquarters come out here to check out how things are going?
It absolutely helps. That's business travel just like any other. There wouldn't be nearly as much as there is in terms of air service there, in terms of people flying there, if there wasn't a rather robust economy. And you're absolutely right that it's not the headquarters per se. It's just the fact that with most companies, you have more going on in the headquarters city than you do elsewhere. But absolutely, there's a fair amount of business travel going to and from Phoenix, just not as much in proportion to the size of the metro area as other cities.
That's Seth Kaplan. He's an airline industry analyst and managing partner of Airline Weekly. He talked about how some of what Sky Harbor is trying to do is out of its direct control. For more on that, I'm joined by Deborah Ostreicher. She's Phoenix's assistant aviation director. And Deborah, do you agree with that assessment?
I do. And Seth is highly, highly respected in the industry. He's been with Airline Weekly a long time. I read him all the time, and I have to say he is right on point. The only thing I would add is that as important as Fortune 500 companies are to gaining more international service, some of the airlines tell me, I don't care how many Fortune 500 companies you have if they're not flying. So, yes, it is clearly an indicator, but if the people who work there aren't buying airline tickets, then it doesn't matter.
So given the Valley's sort of business climate and the types of firms that we have here, how does that affect how you and your colleagues go out and try to bring in flights and to an extent keep the flights that you have?
It's a great question because it's something that we work on every day. It's a huge priority for the Phoenix mayor and council, and frankly, for all the elected officials across the state, because for every flight that we have, there's somebody who wants a flight to a place that we don't have nonstop. The good news is you can get just about anywhere in the world with one stop, and unfortunately for some people, it takes two. But when you look at how we compare to other cities, like what Seth was saying, when you look at the population of L.A. that has over 13 million people and where we've got 4,500,000 people, it's more about how many people do you have and how many people are going to buy airline tickets, because the airlines are going to look at where can we make money. And they are here flying the routes that they believe they can make money. And if they don't, then they leave.
Do you find that airlines talk about the fact, one of the things that Seth was talking about, a lot of the passengers here, especially tourist travelers, they're more price sensitive than some business travelers. Are airlines concerned about, is that a concern that they have when they talk about what their participation at Sky Harbor is going to be like?
Absolutely. They look at not only how many people will buy tickets, because, you know, here, if I said we've got nonstop service to Tokyo tomorrow and the tickets are $99, we could fill that plane all day long. If it's $1,000, we'll fill it less. If it's $3,000, we'll fill it less. So it's really about what is the amount that the passengers will pay that will support that airline not only being here but making money for its shareholders.
I guess at the end of the day, how much of a hindrance have you found it to be that, you know, the state and the region's business situation is what it is when you're trying to get more flights and perhaps even more international flights?
Well, it's good news, bad news. First of all, with regard to our domestic flights. We have some of the cheapest tickets in the industry here, and that's because of the competition. Seth talked about it a little bit, between American and Southwest, as well as some of the other carriers that have come into our market, like Spirit and Frontier, and they bring down the prices altogether. But when it comes to overseas travel, that's where it becomes a little more difficult. On the other hand, you look at what British Airways just did, and they found there is so much demand in this market, particularly in the summertime, that they've added a second flight in the summertime. So it can be a hindrance, but also where the demand is, the airlines will follow.
Deborah Ostreicher is Phoenix's Assistant Aviation Director. Deborah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.